give you praise and honor and glory for who you are today, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, God, that rescued us from our sin, God, from our blindedness, from our wrongdoing. God, we thank you for that grace that is sufficient for us. God, we thank you that you pursue us. God, that you pursue a relationship with us. God, we thank you that we can come before you anytime, anywhere, and say, Father, forgive me. And God, you are faithful and true to forgive us. God, we thank you that you invite us into your family. God, that you call us your sons and daughters. Father, we thank you, God, for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that he went to the cross to pay our debt that we could never pay. God, we thank you that we can come before you with a clean slate, with pure hearts through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Amen. God is so good. Look at our artists. They've already finished up. Are you ready to tell us about your paintings? Zach, you want to share? If you guys want to share now, then you could go to class if you like. How's that sound? You good? Yeah. Come on up. I'll hold the mic, you hold the painting. How's that?
I drew a picture of the cross, and then this is the tomb that Jesus was laid in, and then that's pretty much it.
And there's a faint guard right there. I kind of put it like a tissue on it.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Zach. This has got the three crosses. You can leave it up here to dry if you want. Novi, you don't want to talk? Tell us about your painting. All right. Can we show them at least? I'll hold it up. You don't have to. How's that? All right, for God so loved the world. This is he gave his one and only son. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you to both of our junior artists in the making. That's awesome. I'd love to see what God will bring out in them. You give them a scripture, something to follow, and see what God will do with it. Of course, Zach's painting reminds us that Jesus went to the cross for us. His great love for us. God gave his son willingly to be the payment for our sin, our wrongdoing. And Novi's here. I don't know what she has going on in her head, but she has a cross on each side and then the heart in the middle. So something about God's love for us. I'm assuming. That's pretty awesome. When you get to understand and really know what that means in your life, it will change your life forever. So we're going to dismiss kids to children's church ages 3 to 5th grade. I have classes available over in the East Wing. So parents, if you would take your kids out the back, sign them into class, that would be great. And then please remember to get them at the end of service. That's always helpful. And also, the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like to take them there, you're welcome to do that. It does have audio and visual, so you can partake in the service. And as always, your kids are welcome to sit right with you in service, hang out, and enjoy the message. So how many of you put the first piece of the gospel into practice last week? Nobody's raising their hand. This is not, you didn't do good homework. Okay, I have 2, 3. So we're studying the gospel right now, or at least that's what I've titled the series this month, the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news, or telling the good story. So we as Christians or believers in Christ, are supposed to spread the gospel or tell the good news of Jesus Christ and who he is. Or we're supposed to tell the good story. Or in society today, you don't have to tag into a news feed for very long to understand you could tell a better story. We should be telling a good story, a positive, uplifting, godlike story. Or we could join in and jump on the negativity wagon and promote negativity and discourage people and scare people and instill fear into their lives. So what story are you telling each and every day? What story do you tell yourself? What story do you tell your spouse? What story do you tell your children? What story do you tell your coworkers, your fellow citizens? What story is coming out of your mouth? Because we are supposed to share the gospel or the good story, the good news. So always put a spin on it and make it a good story. Make it uplifting, encouraging, something that will grow and develop and not destroy. So in a nutshell, we looked at this. The nutshell of the gospel is this: God loved, which we looked at last week. This week is God gave. Next week's going to be we believe. And the following week, we receive. So in a nutshell, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's what we get to receive if we'll choose to believe. So I'm going to skip over John 3:16. That's just for those people on the computer. That's the verse I just quoted. The first thing that God gave through Jesus, his Son, was salvation. We have salvation if we choose to receive the gift that's been given, the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But how many of us know that you don't have to receive something just because it was gave? Correct? Just because somebody gives you a gift doesn't mean you have to receive it. You can reject it, you cannot open it, you cannot use it, you cannot apply it to your life. You don't have to receive a gift just because it's given. God has given many gifts, and we're going to look at several of those today. At least the ones I felt he wanted me to highlight today. There's a lot more than this small list of what I'm going to share today. But God did his part. He loved us so much, and he gave us his one and only Son. The next 2 weeks, we're going to look at our part and what we do with that. We believe and we receive. So God has already done his part. Let's look at this. What does he say he's done for us? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. And this whole passage is titled, Made Alive in Christ. If you want to know how to come alive as a Christian in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, read this whole passage. We're just going to pull two verses out of it today. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. So we're looking at what God gave today. God gave us salvation or life everlasting. It's a gift of God. It's not what we can do. Verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. I can't talk about how wonderful I am and how saved I am because of what I've done. Because this has nothing to do with what I've done. It has nothing to do with what you've done. But it has everything to do with what Christ has done. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What's the good story we can tell? Some people don't know that they've been saved by grace. Some people believe the story that I have to do so much to get to heaven or to get in God's good graces or to attain salvation. Some people believe there's a stepping stone or a manual, which there is a manual for life. But to obtain salvation, you have to say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. We can't do anything else but accept and invite. Say, I need a Savior. We have to first recognize, but there's people out there that don't realize that. So unless we tell them the good news or the good story, they walk around with blinders on. We just sing a song about that, I think. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There's lost people in the world today. And it's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're evil. It's that they're blinded. And they haven't seen the truth yet because somebody hasn't told them the good story yet. We as believers in Christ Jesus are supposed to be sharing the good story. Salvation is given freely. Sometimes it's not easy to share with people. Do you find it easy to share with people? How about like your lunch? Let's just go simple. Is it easy to share your lunch? That's my PBJ. I had this really nice hunting jacket once. It's my favorite jacket still to this day. And it was pretty much brand new. I don't think I'd had it for a whole season yet, even. I was picking up a load of logs from a guy, and he commented on how nice my jacket was. And I said, yeah, I really like it too. And I took the load of logs back to the ranch and unloaded it. And I was going back for another load, and I really felt the Lord say, give this guy your jacket. And I'm like, I like this jacket. I'm not giving him my jacket because I know best, right? Who's God to tell me? So I pick up another load of logs and go drop them at the ranch, and I'm heading back for my third load, and again I hear, give this guy your jacket. So I'm like, all right. Well, you know what? I'll stop by the house and grab one of my other ones. And God's like, no. I want you to give him that jacket. It's like, really? So I get back over there and take my jacket off. Say, hey, man, you said you really like this jacket, and I really like it. Highly approve of it. I want you to have it. He's like, no, I can't take your jacket. I'm like, no, I really feel like God wants me to give you this jacket. And he's not a believer. I know that. He's a kid I grew up with. I know where he's at in life. And so I give him this jacket, and he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. And it's an expensive jacket, mind you. I'm like, oh, I really didn't want to give him that jacket. Sometimes God asks us to give of ourselves because he's given freely to us. Which it was a jacket that was free to me because I did a magazine ad. I modeled camo. Did you guys know I'm a magazine model? Just for those who are wondering, it's one of my side jobs. I don't get paid for it, but I get free camo. Sometimes God asks us to give something. And if we don't understand first that God freely gave to us, so we should freely give to others, it makes it really hard to give. But when we get everything in proper order, proper perspective, say, you know what, God freely gives to me. Who am I to withhold a good thing from someone else? And I know in that moment it was a witness to him of who God is. He's still not saved. That was probably 10, 12 years ago. But it was a monumental moment in our friendship of, wow. Look what and we're getting closer to Jesus. He is. I'm already there. But he's on his way. He's en route. And the cost of a jacket's pretty cheap to get somebody to meet Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So even in the small things, be found faithful to give and give generously because that's how God has given to us. He's given generously. And I've given away lots of things and I've had lots of things given to me. But everything that comes into my hand, I hold like this and say, God, I appreciate that I get to use it and enjoy it, but whenever you want it, it's yours. Whenever somebody else needs it, it's theirs. Another great thing that God gives us. forgiveness. God gives us forgiveness as well as the ability to forgive. If we remember how much we've been forgiven, it makes it much easier to forgive those around us. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 4. Psalms 103, verses 10 through 4. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, or repay us according to our iniquities. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus, to that one. He doesn't treat us as though our sin deserves. Sometimes we really appreciate God in this area, but then we treat others as their sin deserves. We forget to extend that same grace to those around us. And we treat them as sinners, and we treat them as though they're wrongdoers, and we treat them as though they're not loved unless they do something better with their lives. But God first loved us, even in our place of sin. He even gave to us salvation in our place of sin. He gave us his Son while we were yet sinners. So we should extend that same grace. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Meaning God knows everything about you and I, and every other human being that has ever been or ever will be, and he still has this great love for us. He still gave us his Son so that we might have eternal life. He still gave us his grace. So we should extend that same thing. Tell the good story. God forgives you, so I forgive you. Some people don't know that they can be forgiven. Some people think they've done too much wrong or too much bad. And you'll hear things like this: there's no hope for me now. I'm too far gone. You know what that is? That's the devil telling someone a bad story, not the gospel story. So that's where you and I need to intervene in their lives and tell them the gospel story or the good news that, yes, you can be forgiven. Yes, there is love and grace for you. But unless you and I do our job and tell the gospel story of God gave forgiveness for your sin. And Jesus paid the price for that sin. So now you need to receive it and believe it. We'll get to those next week. It's hard to not go there. It's also intertwined. So give forgiveness to those around you. Let people know they can be forgiven. I talk to people. I plug myself into society as much as possible with non-Christian believers. At least half of your friends should not be saved, I believe. Maybe more. Because they really need Jesus. And unless you go to them and tell them about Jesus and tell them the gospel story, who are they going to hear it from? What other stories are they going to be told? You're not good enough. You don't have enough time left. You've done too much wrong. Heaven wouldn't take you anyway, and hell's afraid you'll take over. Right? These are things I hear when I'm out and about. But it gives me opportunity to say, oh no, God loves you so much. Anytime you're ready to quit living this life and serve him, his arms are open wide for you. His forgiveness is ready and available for you. His salvation has already been given to you. All you have to do is receive it. But unless we go there and tell them the good story or the good news, who else will? Maybe some of you listening today in this building or online think, wow, how did I stumble across this? I'm one of those people that think, it's too far gone for me, but I hope my kids can make it. You know what? It's not too far gone for you. There's hope for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's salvation available today for you. Ever since the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Maybe they're not up there today. There it is. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Since the very beginning, the existence of mankind in the creation, God breathed into the nostrils of man, and God gave life, and God gave breath. If you acknowledge this, every life has purpose, every life has meaning. But when you don't acknowledge this, it's real easy to abort babies. It's real easy to commit suicide. It's real easy to commit murder. It's real easy to discount those around you if you don't believe that God gave life and God gave breath. What's the better story? Every life matters because God gave breath and life. And if you're a living being, if you're breathing, God gave you life. So who is the founder and creator of every life? God is. So if every life counts to God, every life should count to me. One really awesome thing, I read a report that in the last 2 years, the abortion rate is down almost 1 million babies. Yeah, that's exciting. That's really exciting. The only not exciting part is it only went down 20%. That means there's still millions of babies every year. Awesome part is they get to go meet Jesus. The not so awesome part is all those families have to struggle with those decisions. All of us don't get to enjoy life with those individuals. But once we understand and know that God is the giver of life, God is the giver of breath, and we start acting according to that, how much easier is it to give life, to love life, to enjoy life? And I understand that there are certain situations and circumstances, and I am a product of depression and attempted suicides. So I understand that end of it also. Life isn't all pretty and roses, and it's not all fun. But once we get our mind wrapped around God as the giver of life, people need to hear that. Some people think their life isn't worth living. I used to be one of those people. The world would be better off without me. I was believing a lie and not the truth of God's word. Don't live a lie. Know that God is the giver of life and breath. He cherishes you. He cares for you. He has a whole life planned for you. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift is from the Father of lights, the Lord God Almighty. Give thanks to God for who He is in your life. I'm constantly throughout my day just finding reasons to thank God. I thank God right now that we have this great building with a filtration system and it's not smoky in here. That's pretty awesome. When I was in Africa, it's all open air. Whatever the air is what you're in during church and life and everywhere you go. That's a blessing of God. It's a small blessing, but it's a blessing. Some of the greater blessings are like the peace He gives us that surpasses the understanding we have for the situation we're in. Thank you, Lord. Every good gift comes from the Father above. Give thanks. Be thankful. Live a thankful life. That's the better story. Sometimes we allow negativity to come in and we look at what could be better or what's nicer or newer or put your term in there. But every good gift is from God. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're supposed to use our gifts, our talents, and abilities to serve others. God gives gifts. God gives talents. God gives abilities. That's why we like to do things like this, give kids an opportunity to use their gift of arts and creativity and just to see what God would speak to them in that moment. Sometimes it's just a painting and other times it's a really profound painting. It's like, wow, that was better than the message. But we are all full of gifts and talents and abilities, and we're to use them to serve one another. God's given you gifts and talents and abilities. There are people around you that have gifts and talents and abilities, and they don't know they can use them to serve others. But if we tell them the good news, oh yeah, God's given you gifts, talents, and abilities to help others. It's like, really? That's a gift? That's a talent from God? I can use that? I don't just have to speak on Sunday morning? No. There's gifts of hospitality, gifts of helping, gifts of serving, gifts of giving, gifts of generating finances to sow into the kingdom of God, gifts of skilled labor, gifts of cooking and cleaning that you can use to serve other people. If you have a gift and a talent, it is God-given. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Do you know God will not withhold anything from you if your walk is blameless? These aren't all just free gifts. We have to do our part. He's done his part. He's given. But we have to do our part and walk a blameless life and do what he tells us to do and act according to his word, his commands, his laws, and his precepts. We don't just get to do whatever we want to do and then enjoy his gifts and talents and abilities. But he will give to us if we walk according to his ways. This is one of my favorite gifts. We're going to talk about the word. His written word. His manuscript for life. Psalms 109, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Do you know you can get direction for your life from the word of God? God gave us his word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I spend a lot of time in the woods in the dark, and it's really wonderful to have a headlamp or some sort of flashlight, any kind of light. I've spent some nights without a flashlight and some nights with a flashlight. I prefer the ones with a light. Some people are wandering around in the darkness. Maybe some of you sitting here today are stumbling around in the dark, and it feels like all I do is get up and I fall down again in life, and I can't stay on my feet. God's given us this amazing flashlight for life that gives us instruction how to navigate life's challenges. I know each of us have different struggles. Each of us have different areas of life where we struggle, where the enemy attacks us, where we're weak and we're not strong, and it's different for everyone. But God's manuscript covers every aspect of our life, everything that we would struggle with. For some of us, it's pride. We're very proud, and I've never done anything wrong in my life. I'm practically perfect. Correction, I am perfect. That would be pride. You probably have a problem with pride. On the other end of the spectrum, some of us suffer with low self-esteem. I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything anyway. Even if I tried, I wouldn't win, so why try? And we won't get up and do anything. But what do you struggle with in your life? It's in God's manuscript for life to give you a light and a lamp to guide your path of overcoming and being all that Christ has called you to be, experiencing all that he gave when he went to the cross that day. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Do you know the word of God is alive and active? It's not just some dead old manuscript. I'm amazed. Sometimes I just randomly open the word and read, I'm going to read this passage on this page. Just not part of a daily Bible reading program. I just sometimes just love to read the word of God, so I just open it up randomly and read it. And it amazes me how often I do that, that later that day or that week, I needed that passage to get through a moment or an experience or to give someone encouragement. And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. If that isn't alive and well, I don't know what is. But also it's used to judge the motives of our heart and the condition of our heart, which if I read it correctly, I go, wow, that's really speaking to me. And it's saying, Arby, you're out of line. Arby, you're not acting appropriately. Arby, you're being a horrible husband. Arby, you're being a horrible father. Arby, you're being a horrible friend. Arby, you're being a horrible pastor. And it judges my heart and my intentions, which is what the Word of God is supposed to do. Not to belittle us, but to call us higher, to build us up, to edify us, if we use the Word of God properly. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Still on the gift of the Word that God gave us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is useful for so much in our lives, and it's supposed to be used to grow and develop us to become who God's called us to be, so that we could do every good work he has set before us. Not that those good works get us into heaven or get us salvation or get us redemption, but they do get other people into heaven along with us and give glory to God for who he is. The Word of God is an amazing gift that God has given us. The next gift we're going to look at that God has given us is his Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, verse 49. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. Of course, this is at the time Jesus is ascending back into heaven after his resurrection, leaving his disciples. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. This doesn't look like the right verse. I must have given them the wrong one. Oh, 49. I probably wrote down 29. Now, back to Luke 24, 49, the other verse I meant to use. Will you guys forgive me? Even pastors mess up and write the wrong stuff down. Okay, now this is where Jesus is ascending back into heaven after his resurrection. He's leaving his disciples and says this to them, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit in this moment. God says, I'm giving you supernatural power through my Holy Spirit. If you'll accept it, if you'll receive him, if you'll invite him into your life. You know, the Holy Spirit is considered as our counselor or guide. If you have a situation that you can't think through or get through, You can say, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my situation. Give me counsel and guidance. Give me wisdom because I can't figure this out. And how many times in our lives could we tell stories when the Holy Spirit gave us an ingenious idea? It's like, wow, now it's easy. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God that He gave us. Some people don't know the Holy Spirit's available to them. Some people have the blinders on. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. God gives us His blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Do you want the blessing of the Lord in your life? Sign me up. Where's the dotted line? I love walking in the blessing of the Lord. It's a good place to be. But I have to live a life according to it. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the protection of the Lord. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you want to walk in the protection of the Lord? I do. Pick me. I like God on my side. And I know that if I walk righteously and according to His ways for my life, He's going to be on my side. He's going to protect me. He's going to bless me. Am I still going to have trials? You bet. Am I still going to have hardship? You bet. Are things still going to go wrong in my life? You bet. But my God is still for me. He is still with me. He's still on my side. I'm just going through some growth areas. A little bit of training and development in my life. Sometimes people don't understand the gifts that God has given. And they don't understand that they're available to them, or they have a skewed perception of them. When I was in Africa the first time, I think 6 years ago, I was trying to give this guy a shirt because they don't have much for clothes over there. They usually have like what they have on and that's it. At least where I was in Malawi. And so I'm trying to give this guy a shirt, and he's like, no, no, no. And I'm like, you know, talk to the missionary we were with. And I'm like, why won't he take this? He goes, oh, well, he thinks it's dead man clothes. I was like, well, why would he think that? And I'm like, he's like, well, everyone here only has one set of clothes, and you wear what you own. So if there's clothes available, it's because somebody died, and they don't want dead man's clothes. I'm like, well, what if I take my shirt off? He's like, well, he'd probably take it. So I peel my shirt off and like, here. And, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I put the other shirt on and took it off later and gave it to another guy. And just so you know, I did not give away any underwear. But their lack of understanding of what was really going on. Often we're that way with God's gifts. We have a lack of it. We kind of have a perception of it, but not real clear picture of what's going on. That God's trying to give something to us, or people around us, God's trying to give something to them. Like, well, how much is it? What do I have to pay? Like, I don't want that. Some dead guy might have wore that. Or I don't want that. I don't know what it's going to do to me. Like, what's the Holy Spirit going to do to me if I invite Him in my life? What's salvation going to require of me if I invite Jesus into my life? What's the Word of God going to do to me if I start reading it? God has good things in store for us. God wants to help us. God wants to provide for us. God wants to walk through our hardships with us, bring us joy when we should be in turmoil, and bring us peace when we should be a basket case. But unless we tell the good story about who God is, tell people about His love and His grace and say, no, look, it's harmless. Look, it's a living person wearing this thing. It's okay. It's acceptable. unless we tell that good story. That's why the gospel is supposed to go out from us, to minister to hearts and lives. Deuteronomy 1:25. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, "It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us." So these are the children of Israel after they've spent 400 years in slavery. They've escaped from Pharaoh. They went through the Red Sea. They're looking across the Jordan at the promised land. All that God promised, and as it says, is the Lord our God is giving us. Of course, we know that 10 of the spies say, "Oh no, we can't do it. They were like giants and we were like grasshoppers." 2 of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, "Oh yeah, God's given us the land and it is flowing with milk and honey and the grapes are as big as basketballs." And they didn't use that term back then. They didn't have basketballs yet, but took 2 men to carry a bushel of grapes on a stick to get it back. And they attested, "Oh yeah, it's a great land, it's wonderful, and God's giving it to us." And sometimes we have all these provisions of God in our lives, and God wants to give to us, give to us, give to us, but we get to this point and go, wait, he's not just going to dump it in my lap, I have to do something about it? And God says, yeah, you got to go forth and take hold of the land. You got to go forth and fight the battles. I'll walk through them with you. I'll go before you, but you've got to go and do it. See, God's gifts aren't just hanging on a string ready for us to pick all the time. We've got to go forth and do something about it. I've got to learn to lay my pride down and go forth in humility and receive what God has for me. Or go forth in humility and have that conversation with someone so that I can later experience his gift. As we jump ahead to chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, this is what happened in their day. 38 years passed. This is from the time they came back and had that good report of the land. Passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zereda Valley. By then, that entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. They didn't get to receive the gift that God gave to them freely because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faithfulness, because of their lack of willingness to go forward and do and to take hold and possess of what God had given them. 38 years it took them before the rest of the tribe could go and experience the joy of the promised land. God's promises are true. He is faithful. He's not a liar. But we have our part to do as well in the giving. When God gave his one and only son, not everyone will accept him. Not everyone will receive him. But he gave, he's done his part. We as Christians, as sons and daughters of God Most High, we've got to go forth and do our part. We've got to be found faithful. We've got to be found obedient. We've got to be found ready to serve and do what God's calling us to do. If we're willing to go forth and share the good story, the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we're willing to lay down, what do you need to lay down in your life? Maybe you like to be greedy with your time. "No, I already gave you Sunday, God. I'm off until next week. Put in my 20 minutes, I'm going home." Maybe you're greedy with your finances. "No, I gave you 10%, God, that's enough." Or maybe you don't even do that. "Nope, God, maybe you're greedy with your family." "Nope. This is family time, God, not for you." Maybe you're greedy with your hobbies. Said, "Nope." What are you greedy with in your life that you're not surrendering to God? For all these Israelites, it was they didn't see themselves as God saw them, as victors, as champions. They had lived so long in slavery, they saw themselves as victims and not victors. Know today that God gave you victory through Christ Jesus. Go and tell the good story, the story of salvation, that God gave his one and only Son because he loved us so much that we could have victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Go tell the better story, the gospel story of God's love and God's grace that he gave to us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go and be blessed this week. Wayne, would you come, please?